Hey guys, I'm so excited. I am finally sitting down to record my first podcast. I was about to say vlog. I'm so used to saying vlog because for those of you who don't know, I'm actually a vlogger on YouTube. This is my first time ever to sit down and do a podcast. Podcast is something that I've wanted to do for so long, and finally, I feel like it's like the right time now. I don't know how to explain it. You know, when you just feel like it's the right time for something. I don't know how to explain it, but the past little while, I've just been going on like a lot of feeling in my life. I think it has something to do with my age and like where I am in life, that point in life where you start to, you know, get all, I don't know what the word is, but you start to get all like thinking and feeling. I think it has something to do with the fact that I'm a mom, and you know, I used to be a mom to babies, and my oldest, Leah, she's gonna be six soon, and next year she's gonna start the first grade, and you know, there's a big jump that happens with kids, I think, between, you know, the age of 3 and 4, and then all of a sudden when they're like 5 and 6, they're like little people, and you start to realize that you're like, you're a mom, like you have kids. It's not only like, oh, I have a little baby. No, you have kids, and then you start to think about, you know, education and how you want to raise them to be the people that you want them to be, and you know, the values, and for them to be hardworking. And then you start thinking about things. You start getting all philosophical about things that you never, you know, gave a 2 minutes of your day to even think about. And I think that's part of the reason why I wanted to start a podcast, because I find myself, you know, talking more about important things that are important to me, my values and in my value system, and just, you know, wanting to make myself better and the world better and my children better, and, you know, things that didn't really interest me so much. You know, when you're in your early 20s, you know you're thinking mostly about how are you going to succeed in life, or, you know, how are you going to reach your goals in terms of job, and whether it be, you know, relationship or whatever that is, or still studying, or, you know, things like that. And then once you reach your 30s, I think many of us have, you know, passed that point where, you know, we finished studying, and some of us are married by that point or not. But for me, I was already like a new mom by my early 30s. And now that I'm like in my mid 30s, which is even scary to just say, but whatever, I'm in my mid 30s. I'm starting to think about things that are just like way more, you know, just a lot deeper, on a deeper level. So welcome to my podcast. And today we're going to talk about extraordinary achievements, which if we're talking about personal growth, I think this is the type of subject that is relevant at any age and any point in your life. If you're a teenager, you know, you're interested in your achievements. And when you're in your early 20s, you want to also be achieving things. And for me, in my 30s, I'm now thinking about extraordinary achievements as well, and how I can take where I am in my life and make it better and be better at things that I'm already pretty good at, and how to become good at things that I don't know how to do yet. So I think when talking about extraordinary achievements, I think the first thing that we should really kind of, you know, give a few minutes to is, what are extraordinary achievements? So for each person, I guess for everyone, an extraordinary achievement is something a bit different. I think for some people, an extraordinary achievement could just be learning a new skill. Or if it's getting into shape, or, you know, losing that extra weight, or it could be how to be extraordinary at negotiation, or how to start your own business, make a career change. For each and every one of us, an extraordinary achievement is defined a little bit differently. And for some people, you know, I can say for myself, some people look at some of the things that I've done in life and they're like, wow, that's an extraordinary achievement. And I'm like, well, you know, thanks, but I don't feel like that's super extraordinary. So well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that we each define extraordinary achievements as a little bit different. And I think that when we're going into this talk, to this conversation about extraordinary achievements, I think just I want each and every one of you to kind of think, what is the next kind of extraordinary achievement you want to achieve in your life? Again, it could be personal, it could be career oriented, it could be just whatever you want it to be, pretty much. So for the purpose of this podcast, I'm going to just kind of take the anecdote of like learning a new skill, for example, I guess as something that's going to help me with this talk. So like, you know, learning how to drive or learning to play basketball or learning how to play an instrument or learning to draw. I know for me, like I would love to learn to draw. You know, I haven't found the time for it, but it's something that I would like to do. I would love to learn to sing. So just kind of like learning a new skill, because I guess anything that you're going to do in life, you're going to need a certain level of skill. You're going to need to learn how to do whatever it is you want to do, whether it is start your own company. You know, there's a certain amount of skill involved in that. And so it might be the skill, the new skill that you want to learn is how to run my own business. So let's talk about, you know, the usual approach to learning a new skill. So I guess when we decide that, you know, what's the skill that I want to learn or what is it that I want to do? So first of all, we have, you know, we start with a general idea of what it is we want to do. So it's, I want to start weight training. I want to run long distance. I want to start my own business. And then we'll normally turn to instruction. For example, we will read a book. We'll buy a book. You know, we'll go down to the store and we'll buy a book. I remember when I was in my early 20s, I bought Donald Trump's book about negotiation because I wanted to learn how to be a better negotiator. We can sign up for a course. I'll, you know, learn from a teacher. If it's yoga, often we have this like yoga guru that we'll go to. Or YouTube, actually. Today, you know, with everything being online and we have all this access to information, we have this amazing opportunity to learn whatever it is we want. So, for example, if it's we're talking makeup, which is, you know, obviously an industry I'm very passionate about, coming from beauty on YouTube and those kind of things, you know, I say to people all the time, you don't need to go to a proper beauty school anymore. You can learn it all off of YouTube and probably even be better, because on YouTube we're learning a lot of like hands-on, like, you know, tried and tested things, and it's not so theoretical. So you get the instruction and you learn whatever it is you want to learn, and then you start practicing. And then you practice and you practice and you practice until you're pretty good at whatever it is you want to do. And then when is it that we actually start telling people that we know how to do that skill? So I know I'm pretty good at putting on makeup, or I know how to drive, or I know how to play an instrument. I think it's when we reach that point where we're no longer thinking about the practice and it's becoming a little bit more automatic. At this point, when we stop thinking about what we're doing and it becomes automatic, I think that's the exact point when we stop improving. Research actually shows that, generally speaking, once a person has reached a level of acceptable performance, any additional years of practice don't necessarily lead to improvement. And I think that's so interesting, because I think a lot of us think that if we just continue practicing more and more and more, then we'll just get better and better and we'll become extraordinary at whatever that skill is. But in fact, it's quite the opposite. 20 years experience for a doctor, for example, is likely to be worse. Like a doctor who has 20 years experience at his job is likely to be worse than a doctor who has only 5 years experience. And this is because of that automatic performance. The automatic performance leads them to not make deliberate efforts anymore to improve. So I guess you can all kind of imagine or picture, you know, somebody who's been doing something for years and, you know, they're not willing to learn the new way or to start using a computer. You know, we all know somebody in our neighborhood, whether it's a grocer or even like the at the laundromat, like the dry cleaners, you know, who's not using a computer and he's handwriting out his receipts and he's calculating in his head, you know, how to give the change, and nothing's like automated and he's just doing it the same way that he's been doing it for years. you know, would we call that an extraordinary dry cleaner? I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, of course there's no like 100% rule and, you know, you might find the best grocer in town who is still doing everything like weighing things, you know, by hand and doing things the manual old school way. But when we talk about really doctors, I guess the young doctors, they really have that motivation to keep practicing, to keep learning and to keep challenging themselves, as opposed to one who's been doing it for a long time and kind of feels like he's seen everything by now and he knows everything by now. I think it's interesting. So I guess basically what that means, if we want to turn something that we know how to do into extraordinary, I guess that means we should stop practicing. We should start doing something different. So what are those things that we should do that are different? I've actually made a list of a few things that I think would really help. So the first one is to constantly push yourself to get better. I think you should be practicing what you're bad at. And I can give you an example from my own personal life. I was not so great at doing eyeliner for clients when I was, at the beginning of my career as a makeup artist. And instead of making myself and pushing myself to doing that eyeliner better, I would convince people that eyeliner, you know, wasn't on trend or not right for their eye shape, not the best decision. And I would just talk people out of it instead of having to face my fears and put on eyeliner. And I know that sounds so simple, like the example I'm giving is so simple, but I'm sure you guys can relate to this. So basically, if you're practicing what you're bad at, then you're actually increasing your level, your overall level of performance. You know, if you're a basketball player and you're really, really good at, you know, guarding and foul shots and whatever it is, but you're really bad at three-pointers, that's where you should be spending your time practicing on what you're bad at. And then when you become better at that, that's when you become an extraordinary basketball player. You should be getting out of your comfort zone. Whether it's doing something you've never done before, or even physically taking yourself out of that comfort zone. So somewhere that you felt really comfortable to be working, or you know, that's a space where you feel really at home. Sometimes really taking yourself out of that comfort zone is gonna throw you off guard, and you're gonna have to deal with things that are harder for you. To sum that up is, don't try harder. You know, try different. My next point, or my next tip, I guess you could say, is to visualize success. I am a strong believer of believing. I think that if you don't actually mentally, you know, close your eyes, meditate, clear your mind, and try to picture the success in whatever it is you want to do, it won't happen. If you can't close your eyes and believe it or see it, envision it, then it will never happen, because you also need to be able to define for yourself what that success will look like. You know, if you don't know to look into the future, to close your eyes and look into the future and say, okay, that's what success will look like for me, then you don't really know what your path is. You don't know what you're headed for. You don't know what your goal is, what your target is. And then obviously the believing part is just important on such a deeper level, where if you don't fully believe you can succeed in something, then why should you succeed in it? You know what I mean? My next tip is planning. And I think a lot of us kind of in today's day, where everything is so dynamic and so fast paced, we have completely stopped planning and thinking ahead. And I think, you know, having a notebook and writing down your thoughts is so important. First of all, understand your current situation. A lot of people don't fully understand their current situation. They may perceive themselves as better than they really are, or worse than they really are at that certain skill. And they don't try to make sense of all the information that's present. We are bombarded with information on a daily basis nowadays, and like our brains literally get tired. This goes back to meditation, what I was just talking about. But you have to really write things down, make lists, brainstorm, write down your ideas, because we forget. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be walking down the street and I'll have this idea. You know, I want to film that video, or I want to talk about this on that podcast. And if I don't write it down, chances are I won't remember. And I get frustrated with that personally, because I will sit down to film a video and I'll be like, oh my God, there was something I wanted to film. You know, what was it? And I can't remember. And then that whole like achieve, you know, trying to achieve something as is gone. Like I'm not achieving what I wanted to do because I didn't write it down. So write it down, research things. You know, some people want to be, for example, you know, excellent at nutrition. They want to get their life, you know, healthier. They want to have a healthier lifestyle and they don't do the proper research. You know, they'll just kind of Google like, what's the best diet, you know, and they'll just do a diet. And for me personally, I can tell you, you know, this is again pulling from my real life. I'm actually on a ketogenic diet at the moment. And I'm trying to turn this into a ketogenic lifestyle. And I really, truly researched, you know, I read books and I watched YouTube videos and I'm still reading books. And even though I know what keto means, I'm constantly trying to understand more and more so that I can be better at it. So I can be extraordinary at keto. I've reached that point in my life where I want to be extraordinary at everything I can be extraordinary at. And it means you need to research. When I decided that I wanted to be a YouTube beauty guru, I understood that I needed to really understand about skincare, even though it's not necessarily makeup related or it's not necessarily the necessity of being called a YouTube beauty guru. But I felt that if I wanted to excel at it, if I wanted to be extraordinary, that I needed to really, really learn. And so I did a lot of research. And I think the final thing, you know, that goes under planning is, of course, time management, which we all struggle with. I personally struggle with time management because I'm a mom of four and I don't have 24 hours a day. I don't. I have until, you know, from in the morning from when I drop my kids off until when I need to pick them up. And that normally gives me only about a 6-hour window when I'm child free. And in that window, I also need to, you know, get my workout in and I need to take an hour to make my meal or whatever it is if I'm eating lunch. And I need to work and I need to film and I need to, you know, go for meetings. And sometimes I'm on TV that day. And so for me, time management is something that I really struggle with. And I find that the better I am at time management, the more successful I am at every single one of my goals. So, you know, you find your way that whatever works best for you. And maybe we can do a whole conversation, a whole separate podcast on time management and all the different strategies and, you know, what has worked for me and maybe sharing some of your stories. Yeah, if that's interesting for you, let me know because I'm down to do that. I guess this is a good time to kind of stop for a second and just kind of shamelessly plug my Instagram account because that's the best way to get in touch with me through the DMs or through a comment section on one of the photos. So my Instagram is at Ashley Waxman Bakshi. And, you know, I would love to have these conversations to like keep going over on the Instagram. So let me know. Okay, we're going to continue to my number four tip, which is talking about the whole execution of, you know, you've decided what your goal is, what the achievement is you want to do. You've decided that you're going to do it different. You're going to do it better. You're going to do it harder. You believed, you planned, you researched, you got your time going. Everything's going well. And now it's time to actually do it. And I think this is the point where most people kind of mess things up. Because I think a lot of people think that, you know, if you've done all that planning and you've decided that you're going to do it and you believe it, that it's just going to come easy. So no, it does not come easy. You got to take things seriously. You've got to invest in it, whether it's time, whether it's money. Sometimes you have to buy certain equipment. Sometimes you've got to really, really invest your time into something that's not necessarily paying off. But that's, you know, the risk return trade-off that I learned when I was in business school. You know, that's right. The more risk you take, the higher the potential for return. And I think commitment and self-discipline is something that we really need to talk about because I feel like today, you know, I give talks in front of lots of like young adults and teenagers. And I think the number one thing that I've noticed among the younger generation is that they think that things kind of come easy in life. I think maybe my parents' generation know that that's not true at all. And I think that even my generation kind of started to take things for granted. And I think the younger generations even take things further for granted. And I think that has a lot to do with social media because we've seen people who have like, you know, become empires overnight, not only social media, but technology in general. You know, somebody will have a really successful business and overnight, you know, an exit and they're a billionaire overnight, or a social media star, you know, a few things will go viral and that's it. They're like worldwide known and invited to the Oscars and filming videos with Kylie Jenner, and things like that can happen overnight. But it's important to understand that it happens overnight to a very, very select few. And for the majority of us, everything that we want to do takes time, commitment, and loads of self-discipline, because nobody is going to push you to do it. Nobody. You need to be the one pushing yourself. If you want to be extraordinary at whatever it is you want to be doing, you and only you are responsible for your achievements. And then finally, I guess my last tip has to do with dealing with the downfalls, because there's going to be times where you're like, oh, this is too hard, or I'm not going to be able to do it, or this is not for me. And specifically, I want to talk about haters and doubters. There are so many haters and doubters out there, and they don't necessarily know that they're haters and doubters. They might think that by them doubting your ability to be extraordinary in something, that they're being realistic, they're being a true friend, and they're telling you honestly that they don't think you should be investing your time in that. But they may be wrong. And you know what? If you want to be doing whatever it is that you want to be doing, then don't let those doubters stand in your way. Maybe they'll be right, but maybe you will have tried and decided on your own that it's not for you, or that, you know, it's time to move on. But don't ever let yourself not do something because of a hater or a doubter, because they're always going to be there, even with the best intentions. And of course, there's a benefit of starting young. So whatever it is that you want to do, don't put things off. And I know it's easy for me to say, because I'm the one who's been putting off doing a podcast for the past year and a half. But I guess, you know, I'm giving tips, even if I don't necessarily follow through with all of my own tips, but I'm giving you my tips. And definitely, I think one of my greatest advantages being on YouTube in Israel was that I was one of the first people on YouTube in Israel. And so being young and being the first and being, you know, that leader and whatever it is always going to kind of help you. And it's easier to do things when you're young for a million and one reasons. Like, you've got the energy and you've got the motivation, and you might not necessarily have kids yet, so you don't have that much risk involved, because you don't have to like mortgage your house and you don't have a whole family depending on your income or whatever that is. And you have more time because you're literally not rocking a baby to sleep all night. So of course there's a benefit of starting young, but it doesn't mean that you have to start young. If you've decided you want to start your own business or you want a career change and you're in your 50s or 60s, it does not mean that it's impossible. In fact, there are so many advantages on doing things like that when you're older. You're wiser, you have more experience. But of course, if we're talking about some physical things, then unfortunately there is a benefit of starting young. If it's talking about sports or, you know, diet or memory. And then also, let's talk a little bit about path breakers, because there are things, I mean, in becoming extraordinary in whatever achievement you want to become extraordinary in, there's always going to be path breakers. So you have that path, you know, like, okay, I need to do X, Y, Z in order to achieve, and then something's going to throw you off in the middle. It's really important. I think this is what differentiates between people who are going to be good at something as opposed to people who are going to be extraordinary at something. The ones who are going to be extraordinary know how to take that path breaker and kind of turn it into a path shifter. And they realize that it's not that their path is broken, it's that they just have to choose a new path from where they've started. You know, they might need to turn right or turn left and change things. And I can tell you, you know, from my own personal experience, business opportunities that I thought would be huge successes that turned out to not be huge successes. I could have let them break my path completely, but in fact, I made them change my path. So instead of, you know, producing a line of beauty products with a huge organization backing me, you know, behind me, and it didn't work out, instead of just breaking that path and being like, okay, well, I'm not going to make my beauty products that I've always dreamed of, I kind of just changed my path and I found my own way to do it on my own. And I think that that's really, really important. I'm curious, okay? There's a podcast that I love to listen to, and it's called How I Built This with Guy Raz. And he always asks at the end of his podcasts how much basically interviews people who have like really made it big or have changed something in the world or, you know, started some kind of movement. And he always asks them how much of their success is luck and how much is hard work and talent. And I really love that question because it's something that I think about a lot. And I want to say that in extraordinary achievements, I think, or just in general, anything that we want to achieve in life, I think that we are all presented with luck. Sometimes it's good luck, sometimes it's bad luck. But it takes somebody, somebody talented to recognize whether, you know, how to take that good luck and work really hard and make that luck to their benefit or turn that bad luck into their benefit as well. So if we're talking about people who have used, you know, an allergy to a certain food and they've created, you know, something else because of that need, because they had an allergy or, you know, people who became really famous online because they talked about their acne story, for example. You know, people have taken that like bad luck and turned it into an opportunity. So I think it's kind of a mixture of both. And I think that when we're talking about extraordinary achievements, I think you should remember that, that there obviously is a certain element of luck in life, but it takes a lot of hard work and talent to make that luck work in your favor. And then there's this thing like that also I always just kind of think about is about advice. Because people, you know, when we were talking about those haters and doubters, people will always be throwing you out advice. And I can tell you that over the years, I've received so much advice. And I can tell you that the majority of that advice was not very good. And again, I don't think it's because people purposely wanted to give me bad advice. I just think it's because it's really hard for people to know how the future will play out. And if I can tell you from personal experience, the number of people who told me not to quit my day job to be a full-time YouTuber, you know, I couldn't tell you how many people told me that. I don't even remember one person telling me that was a good idea. But looking back, of course, it was a great idea because I do something that I love and I've turned out to be quite successful in it. So again, I don't think that people gave me bad advice on purpose, but it was bad advice. So does that mean I shouldn't listen to any advice? Absolutely not. You should definitely be listening to advice, but you should know who to listen to, especially if you're getting advice from somebody in the industry, somebody who has experience in that industry, in that field, or with that skill. I would be listening to that advice. And I would be taking everybody's advice with a grain of salt, you know, just soak it all in, kind of put it in that brain blender of yours, and then decide what to actually, you know, what to actually use and what your path should be. I guess we should probably end off this podcast with the plateaus. So a lot of times we find ourselves plateauing at our achievements. And I can tell you that I kind of feel like I'm at that point in my life with social media that I've kind of plateaued. And so what are the things that I'm trying to work on now that I have plateaued once I've reached my so-called extraordinary achievements? So I'm trying to invest my time in learning new things that are completely different, because sometimes learning something that's completely different will actually give you a lot of insight. So for me, if I've been, you know, really great the past few years at social media, beauty, makeup, you know, lifestyle, those kind of things, I'm actually trying to invest more time in learning about wellness and like well-being and personal growth. And this is, again, one of the reasons why I am starting this podcast. And I can tell you that doing those things has really helped clear my mind and helped me actually focus on the beauty, which is weird, I know, but that's how it is. Sometimes when you kind of like stop thinking about something, that's when the ideas come to you, you know? You can, you know, if you feel like you're stuck in a rut at work, then ask to expand your role or maybe move to another project or another environment. Maybe physically sitting in a different office might help you. And sometimes stopping and starting again is great. And I do this a lot. A lot of times when I feel like I'm in a rut, again, I'm taking this to my personal story. But for example, I film a lot of makeup tutorials online and sometimes it kind of gets boring. And sometimes you feel like you're stuck in a rut and you're doing the same look over and over and over again. I will stop watching YouTube, I will stop making makeup tutorials, I will stop watching YouTube makeup tutorials, I will cut out beauty altogether for like 2 weeks And then all of a sudden I'm like missing it and I'm passionate about it again. And then I will, you know, my brain is flowing with ideas. So sometimes completely stopping is really great at stopping your plateaus. And of course, like taking a break too. So sometimes I need a break in life. And sometimes, well, for me, the best breaks are when I go abroad, when I travel. For me, just stopping my everyday life and traveling, I always come back from a trip abroad with a million and one new ideas and more motivation. And, you know, after I've tried new food and heard a new language and seen a new culture, or even just I breathed some fresh air, you know? So taking a break a lot of the times helps me deal with plateaus. And that's why if you do follow me on Instagram, you might be thinking to yourself, hey, why does Ashley travel so much? It's part of the reason. It's part of my personality. It helps me, you know, rethink things and start over. And I guess my final thing is learning from others. Never be too, you know, never have such a big ego that you can't learn from others. We can learn from everyone. And even if you are absolutely extraordinary in whatever it is that you do, there is always going to be somebody you can learn from. Just, you know, you got to be humble and you got to understand that, you know, if somebody is doing something a completely different way than you, there's probably a reason to that. It doesn't necessarily mean it's better, but you might be able to learn from that other strategy or that other technique. I guess this is that point in that podcast where I'm just going to wish you all, I guess, lots of luck in whatever extraordinary achievement you want to do or to fulfill. And I guess wish me all good luck with these podcasts. And if you have any requests for any podcasts, make sure to leave them over on my Instagram. And share this podcast with your friends if you're enjoying it. And that's about it. So have a great rest of the week. And I'll check in with you guys next time. Love you guys. Bye-bye.